You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
January the 12th, 2021, and for those of you who listened carefully in the last hour, yeah, I said January 11th. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I thought, I don't think that's right, but I get all my days mixed up lately. Shame on me. Here's my concern, though. I need to let you know right now before we continue. If I can get through this last story in news and commentary without crying, it's going to be pretty amazing. I'm telling you right now, I might end up shedding several tears. But first, to some of the top of the news for news and commentary. Republicans on the attack again against President Biden because, once again, inflation surging. Now, consumer price index, 7%. Now, back in July, Senator McConnell said the Biden administration has tried to push off this. It's just transitory inconvenience. 6 months later, we know they were either misleading or completely incompetent in their assessment, such as Larry Connors saying today was May 11th or January 11th or May 24th or March 45. No, I didn't say any of those. Anyway, he goes on to say Joe Biden is the president of high prices. Well, the Biden White House is trying to downplay the numbers. Of course. They say today's report shows a meaningful reduction in headline inflation over last month. Gas prices, food prices falling, if you can find the food you want, as you just heard on the network news. And Biden said this shows we're making progress. Good luck with that progress. In the meantime, the Washington Post had claimed Monday the CDC was going to update its guidance and recommend get rid of those stupid masks you're wearing with the Patriots on them, our Chiefs, our your friend's name. You're going to have to go to N95. The CDC is going to demand N95 masks. Today, Centers for Disease Control Prevention Director Walensky said, no, we're not. We're not going to change our masking so far. Chamber of Commerce CEO said we need to flood the U.S. with twice as much legal immigration. In other words, amnesty for the illegals here. The Chamber of Commerce trying to get more low-paying employees into the country. So take all those who are here illegally, go ahead and give them legal amnesty so they can go to work freely. And who do you think is going to be hurt? And where are the unions normally standing with the Democrats and the union bosses doing that at this time? But this is going to hurt the American workers even more. You do not have to be really smart in economics to understand that. In the meantime, 40 migrants from special interest countries have been arrested in a West Texas border area. When I say special interest countries, this means they're not coming out of the Central Triangle. They're not coming from Mexico. They're coming from nations known to have terrorist activities. How many like that have come into this country and are waiting for a call? A 2-meter section of China's Great Wall has collapsed in recent days. They had a 6.9 magnitude earthquake. No reports of any deaths, 9 injuries. Repair work is underway for the Great Wall of China. And here's a story that I'm, if I break down and start crying, help me out here. CNN's latest numbers are in, and it shows they've lost nearly 90% of their audience. They've lost nearly 90% of their audience in multiple categories. The worst among advertiser-coveted demographics of 25 to 54. It's not going to be good for CNN. I wipe my tears and smile.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
There is some credibility gap from the CDC, but I think, you know, it's important not to conflate that with the attacks on prominent U.S. scientists. I mean, let's break it down into components.
Let's break it down in components, and those were the words of Dr. Holtetz, Peter Holtetz. He is the Center for Vaccine Development, Texas Children's Hospital. He just admitted something. He just admitted something. The CDC has a credibility gap. Mark, I'm going to ask you to play just that beginning part of that one more time to reinforce those were his words.
There is some credibility gap from the CDC, but...
There we go. There's a credibility gap. And so then you want to know, those of you out there who demand that we follow every directive you give us regarding a mask, a mandate, or a vaccine mandate, that maybe you're making us do whatever you want based on faulty information from the CDC, intentionally or not. When you get the head of the Texas Children's Hospital and the Center for Vaccine Development saying, yes, there is a credibility gap with the CDC, I think we would all say, yes, you're finally going to acknowledge that, finally. But Dr. Holtz, appearing on MSNBC with Andrea Mitchell, really, while he will admit that, he said, let's break it down. We don't need to conflate that with the attacks on prominent U.S. scientists, so let's break down what the issue is.
Let's break it down into components. Component one is the fact that the far-right anti-vaccine aggression has caused 200,000 Americans since June to lose their lives because they were defiant of vaccines.
Do we know that for a fact? We don't. And he doesn't either. Yeah, we might have had 200,000 die and had not been vaccinated. And they may have died of COVID or with COVID. Or they had underlying health issues and that contributed to their death. But they're going to go ahead and put it down as COVID. And COVID has such a wide range now. I mean, we got COVID original case that was certainly deadly, at least if you believe the numbers that were given us then, although not near as much as we were originally given. It's kind of like climate change alarmists running around. I mean, by their projections, Florida would be underwater by now anyway. And by their projections at that time originally on COVID, well, my God, we could lose a third of the world's population almost. Now, maybe I exaggerate, but go ahead. They do. Why not? But he's going to say anti-vaxxers have caused 200 deaths because they were telling people don't get a vaccine or they didn't want to get it themselves. And in some cases, there have been some prominent people. There was a radio talk show host, I believe, in Nashville that died. And supposedly he had told his wife at the end, while he's on a respirator, I wish I'd gotten the vaccine. I don't know anything else about his other health issues he might have had or what else they found in it. I don't know if that would have contributed to his death and made him more susceptible than someone of the same age and everything else that didn't get a vaccine and they also got COVID and they came along fine. Problem is, again, there's still a lot too unknown. That's why, rather than dictating, how about educating and informing, and as things change and evolve, let us know, and then here's what we suggest as opposed to, we're going to lock the schools down. Kids are going to, when they do go back, they're going to have to wear the mask over their face all day long. You got a child on a plane, they got to keep that mask on or you're all going to be booted off. Part of it gets down to, and we're going to get right to the road here with the rubber, where Dr. Hotez of Texas, which is a red state, of course, run by blues in the city of Austin, my place of birth. I got to get back in there and clean that city up at some point. Anyway, he said that the component that we're facing is the far right anti-vaccine aggression. I'm not far right. I'm not anti-vax, but I would support your right to not get it if you don't want. Does that make me far right and anti-vax? But anyway, then I'm also to blame for the death of 200,000 Americans since June. I have told you and shared with you, I have a close relative who passed away quickly, within a week of getting COVID. It was the Delta variant, not Omicron, had not been vaccinated, was wearing a mask whenever they would go somewhere. They were going to go to church one day, trying to go back to church, walked in, half the people didn't have masks on, so they turned around, walked out. They did what they thought was best for them, but he wanted to get a Bible study together. He got five or six men he knew, and they got together and sit around a room without a mask on and pray and talk and share the Bible and study. Then one of them reported a couple of days later he had been diagnosed with COVID, then another one, and then this one. And the relative did not know, but he had diabetes, had never been diagnosed before. So I don't know if that contributed to his death or not. It doesn't bring anybody back, does it? But the problem is when you use it as a whip against others to say, see what will happen, and almost be gleeful about it. Oh, there was a lot of glee and almost sneering. See that guy in Nashville, that radio host that was anti-vaxxer? He got it and he died. Ha! Good! Really? And then also, since I mentioned Bible studies and things of that nature, you remember, of course, Obama making a remark one time about, you know, flying over the flyover country, down below there, they're all, you know, they're gun-toters, Bible-thumping people, as if we're a bunch of cretins that need to be demolished anyway. Well, here's Dr. Holtz down in Texas and speaking to MSNBC Andrea Mitchell.
And said, let's bring.
And when he said that we have had 200,000 lives lost, let's take another look at it again.
Let's break it down into components. Component one is the fact that the far-right anti-vaccine aggression has caused 200,000 Americans since last June to lose their lives because they were defiant of vaccines. So there is, and this is coming right out of the CPAC conference, vaccines are political instruments of control, or first they'll vaccinate you, then they'll take your guns and Bibles away, quotes from members of the United States Congress.
CPAC, of course, a gathering of conservatives once a year. And I don't know if members of Congress made remarks as he's claiming they did, but I know some people have been similar. They know it is just an effort to dictate and control people. On one hand, I disagree with that. I'm going to make it very clear. I disagree it's all being done to control us. But what I will accept is that because we are dealing with it, it's being used as a tool to possibly control. You could argue which came first, their desire to control or the disease, and then them deciding to use it as a control. But the bottom line is, I go back to, you have to take care of you and your family. I had a report earlier. I don't know if I could find it here in time. It was one of these stories that just, you think, how would something like this go down? This is a child, if I remember right, that needed, we already know about a woman who needed a kidney transplant, and she was not going to be able to get it because she had not been vaccinated. They were not going to let her in. And this other one involved a child that needed some life-saving surgery, and wait a minute, I know where it is. Give me a moment. This is one of these things you sit there and you shake your head and say, you got to be making this up. This really can't be this true. But it is. It has to do with, I can't find it. I'm so upset I can't find it all of a sudden, but it's a matter of, again, of the child shouldn't be getting any medical help at the hospital because they kind of deserve to get this. Their parents aren't going to get them vaccinated. They don't believe in it. Is that what we've come to in this nation? That we're going to be gleeful over someone's death? I have told you, and I mean it, and you know I'm not a Biden fan by any stretch of the imagination, but he is a fellow human being. And as a family that loves him and cares about him, and I think he's a terrible president. I don't want him to be there. Now, of course, I also have to worry about who's going to be coming in after he's gone, and right now it could be VP Harris, and that might well happen after the 2022 elections. They may decide while they still have control of the House, before the new House members are seated, they will exercise the 25th Amendment and get him out of office and put her in. That won't help them either, but they think it might. But if the idea is to mock people and say, yeah, he's got dementia, he might die, and I should be happy, I don't buy that. I don't get into that at all. But Dr. Holtz does. He sees politics and anti-vaxxers. It's all linked.
Those who are defiant of vaccinations are strictly along a partisan divide. You can show this in the red states, and you can make these very strong associations statistically between percentage of conservatism, those who are voted for Donald Trump, and those who are defiant of vaccinations.
I'm going to disagree with that, and I think you will too. I know some Democrats, they're anti-Trump. They're Republican in some cases, but some are Democrats, and they're anti-Trump. They didn't like him then. They don't want to come back. But they also do not like the idea of the vaccine. They don't like being told they have to have it. They don't like the mask. They don't like their children being locked up in schools if they're allowed to go to school and have to wear a mask all day, or being kept at home because either the teachers' union carries too much lobbying power, keeping them from taking control of things, or they're just simply going to let their children just kind of suffer through it. And children are suffering. Make no mistake about that. I'm going to get into that in more detail before we wrap up this hour, because that is going to be one of the big, big stories that are going to come out of this down the road as to how we have affected our children. We're going to be reading articles, some of you, 25, 30 years from now, someone who is 5, 7, 8 years old, and what they went through and how it had changed them dramatically, and what they lost in education and in mental stability and health. But Dr. Holtz, he's going to be back to join us and talk about the fact he doesn't really like to talk politics, but he has no option.
Leaves are pretty until they start falling into your gutters. You really want to climb up a ladder, clean them out? That sounds like a project, a dangerous project. I have a motto. I don't do projects. You need K-Guard leaf-free gutter system. Get a free estimate. Locally owned, KGuardMidwest.com. KGuardMidwest.com.
I love it. And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. We're worthy of love. Yes, I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This is one of the toughest things as a biomedical scientist, a physician scientist, I've ever had to talk about, because, you know, all of our training says you don't talk about Republicans and Democrats and liberals and conservatives. We're supposed to be above all that. But, I don't know how to talk about it without talking about it, because it's just so obvious from studies done at MIT and the Kaiser Family Foundation reported by the New York Times. It is this strict partisan divide. And it's a killer. As I say, 200,000 unvaccinated Americans died by anti-science aggression. Anti-science is now a leading killer of young and middle-aged adults in the United States of America.
So says Dr. Holtz, Peter Holtz of the Texas Children's Hospital. He's head of their vaccine research. He quoted a great source there, didn't he? For facts, the New York Times. I don't believe a word he said, except for the fact that he doesn't think scientists, we should be getting involved in politics. We should stick to politics. But all these anti-vaxxers are the ones who are doing all the dying. That's not true. It's not true. We know it's not true. And if you're looking for people to blame, I'm always going to continue to point you right back to Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York, when he ordered nursing homes to take COVID patients into their nursing facilities. When we knew if they're old, they're vulnerable for any kind of infection, and you're going to put them in there, basically a death chamber. Speaking of facing death, Dr. Fauci went on a rampage yesterday blaming Senator Rand Paul for death threats made against him. We'll get into that in the next segment. But I got a piece I want to share with you, and it's an opinion piece by Kent Stepkovitz of CNN and NNN, and I thought he's actually going to turn the corner, or maybe not. He's talking about his two sons. They're grown. He said they went to a raucous wedding. By raucous wedding, I assume nobody had a mask on, I would imagine. But they're adults, young adults anyway. He said they went, and then they came down with Omicron. He said, I've been worried about that. I didn't sleep much. Both of them were fully vaccinated and boosted. They had the usual symptoms, a sore throat, then fever, aches, fatigue. Within a week, they were back to themselves, an unpleasant week, but not really bad enough to even go see a doctor. In fact, they got well so well quickly that I began to wonder whether it might be, here's where he turns the corner, it might be more expedient from public health perspective. We just quit trying to stem the pace and extent of this pandemic and just, well, let it rip. His words, let it rip. Said once everyone got COVID and recovered, we could all be ourselves again, immune and carefree. New York could be the Big Apple again. But then he thought, oh, my God, this has warped my judgment. The let it rip approach would open the gate to more infections. We would have a trail of deaths due to the COVID Omicron. He said emergency rooms already packed to the brim would be filled with more Omicron. We told you numbers yesterday, even out of New York City, quoting the New York State governor, that many of those in the hospitals that were diagnosed with Omicron had come in for something else, a sprained ankle, a bicycle accident, and they tested for Omicron, and they had it. Big deal. You got the flu. For some, it will be a big deal, and I pray for them. I do. But I thought for a moment this liberal was actually going to turn the corner and say, you know what? Herd immunity, natural immunity, is effective. When we come back, Senator Rand Paul, the latest information showing that Fauci has a lot of complicity in what's happened to the world and this nation. Is he going to be held accountable or not?
Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota has the perfect new or pre-owned car for you, but Jay Ackerman also has a mission to help charities that make a difference. Ackerman Toyota supports food banks, veterans groups, head injury victims, charities battling cancer. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow up than Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
He funded the lab. He tried to obscure the idea that he was giving money to the lab. And then he steadfastly for 2 years said it wasn't gain of function, that they weren't taking viruses that don't exist in nature, creating them, and creating viruses that are so dangerous that they could actually wipe out a portion of humanity. He continues to deny that. If this came from the lab, yes, he's culpable. So when you ask him to investigate it, he's not exactly disinterested. He has a conflict of interest because if it came from the lab, yes, he deserves some moral culpability.
Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Texas, of Kentucky. That was his response after yesterday's hearing involving Dr. Fauci, Dr. Fake. He said, the guy wants to act like I can wash my hands of all of this. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't know. I don't know anything about it. Well, you know what? That is absolutely being borne out as a lie by evidence in emails uncovered by the House Oversight Committee. They found that the White House chief director, medical advisor, this is on documents and emails that were recovered in part through a federal official request for information, that the White House chief medical advisor, Dr. Fake, and then NIH director, Dr. Collins, were made aware of the prospect that COVID-19 emerged from the lab. And representing ranking member James Comer, Republican of Kentucky, asking, why wasn't Fauci transparent with the public about the possibility? We missed early opportunities to investigate the origin. The Chinese government, and I'm quoting here, had all of this time to go in and clean their tracks, and the American people, and the world for that matter, may never know the true origination of COVID. Now, we do know, of course, that the World Health Organization finally got permission to go in and look at the lab. Assuming they were even taken to the exact lab where they were doing this testing, assuming, and that's a big assumption if you're dealing with the Chinese, they were told everything's okay. And in fact, some of them said, we never even got to go in. We just were given a written report about what had happened, and that was it. Nothing else. Why wouldn't our chief medical advisor want to know specifically what happened? Because he and Dr. Collins, between the two of them, had allocated federal tax dollars to go to the Wuhan lab. And, of course, Dr. Fake said, this is very important information. We need to know how to weaponize against anything that might be used against us. So let's weaponize something and see how we would treat it. Well, if that was the intent, you blew that experiment, didn't you? I got a C in chemistry. You don't even get that. But he's got his defenders. And the way he was being attacked and torn apart, of course, and basically arguing repeatedly with, well, he's trying to make his points, and Senator Rand Paul is going to make his points. But Dr. Fake has his supporters, one of them being Dr. Peter Holtz of Texas Children's Hospital.
The attack on Tony and Dr. Fauci today, it's not just Tony, it's myself and a few other key U.S. scientists, is all part of that. And it's not random. It's intentional. It's meant to discredit science and to discredit scientists and sow doubt in the American people for political gain. So Dr. Fauci was absolutely right in the way he responded.
That is the same Dr. Holtz you heard at the beginning of this hour, saying the CDC has a credibility gap. And if you compare that statement to what you just heard here, we're scientists, we're doing everything right, and you're just trying to politicize it, and we're doing everything okay. And, of course, Dr. Fauci then started talking about how his life got threatened. We'll come back to that in more detail in a moment. But what Senator Paul sees every time he gets Fauci in front of him, you do not get any direct answers because he does not want to put himself in a line of perjury.
He says that he is science and that if you question him or oppose him, you're opposing science. But this kind of arrogance also led him and Dr. Collins to say they would take a takedown of three epidemiologists who started the Great Barrington Declaration. They're from Stanford, Oxford, and Harvard. They called them fringe. They orchestrated a takedown campaign in the lay media, not in the scientific journals on the merits, but in the lay media. And so he didn't want to answer my question, so he accuses me of fomenting violence. But it's a misdirection because he doesn't want to accept that basically he has become a political animal and that everything he does every day is to further his political agenda, not the science.
Not the science, his political agenda, which is what Dr. Fake is saying about Senator Rand Paul. Well, he is a politician, so you can certainly say that. The Great Barrington Debate, declaration, I should say, that Fauci was just trying to dismiss and working with Collins and others saying, find a way to discredit what they're saying. This was, again, a statement advocating an alternative approach to the COVID-19 pandemic. focusing protection on those most at risk and avoid, or at least minimize, COVID-19 lockdowns. And yes, it involved a research specialist out of Oxford, Stanford, and Harvard. And they drafted it in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, October 4, 2020. And when it got sent out and said basically those at a significantly lower risk of dying from COVID, as well as those at higher risk who wish to do so, should just be allowed to resume their normal lives working, normally at their usual workplaces rather than from home. They could socialize in bars. They could gather at sporting and cultural events. In other words, do not lock down the nation. And the declaration made no mention of physical distancing or mask or even tracing. No mention of long COVID, which has left some patients suffering from debilitating symptoms months after they've had it. But that's what they put out then. And the immediate response of Dr. Fake was not to look at it and study, but to immediately, what do we do to destroy it? Make it disappear. What can we do to discredit it? That's what they were trying to do. Because they wanted to make, as I said earlier, which came first, chicken or the egg? Which came first here? The disease or the desire to lock us down? Or the desire to lock down and then the disease? Or a combination thereof? That's not a conspiracy theorist. It's a simple question. And when we have acknowledged there's a credibility gap with the CDC, when it's acknowledged they have no trust with the American people, it is not just partisan. It is all Americans. You're a Democrat. You're a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. You'll never change. And your children are going to follow in your footsteps. And I wish you and your family Godspeed and the very best. But the other side has a different attitude. And that is, if you're a Republican, you have all that, maybe we should just get rid of you. Well, Dr. Fake said, listen, when Rand Paul starts doing all of his stuff, he sets off the crazies.
The last time we had a committee or the time before, he was accusing me of being responsible for the death of 4 to 5 million people, which is really irresponsible. And I say, why is he doing that? There are two reasons why that's really bad. The first is it distracts from what we're all trying to do here today, is get our arms around the epidemic and the pandemic that we're dealing with, not something imaginary. Number two, what happens when he gets out and accuses me of things that are completely untrue is that all of a sudden that kindles the crazies out there, and I have life that threats upon my life. As some of you may know, just about 3 or 4 weeks ago, on December 21st, a person was arrested who was on their way from Sacramento. The last time we had a committee of the time.
We're having a little trouble at the end of the tape, but they found and stopped this guy, traffic stop, and he had in the car numerous rounds of ammunition and weapons, and he was asked, where are you going? He said, I'm going to D.C. I'm going to kill Dr. Fauci. And yes, Dr. Fauci, I think I do hold you partly responsible for the deaths we've had. And if you're responsible, if you're truly responsible, you have to admit, yeah, that's my duty, and we did the best we could or we thought we were doing. I'll allow you that. Coming up, what does science say about pedophilia is formed in the womb?
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
There is superstition Let us not fall.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So there's a story that came out in USA Today, and that's being roasted on social media for the basic report. It involves pedophilia. And it's picking up on a report that was put out in some kind of research project. It says the complicated research behind pedophilia. It says pedophilia is viewed as the most horrifying social ills. But scientists who study the sexual disorder say it's also among the most misunderstood. The American Psychiatric Association's diagnostic, and statistic manual of mental disorders said pedophilia is defined by, and I'm quoting here, recurrent, intense, sexually arousing fantasies, sexual urges, or behaviors involving sexual activity with a pubescent child or children. And latest reports say too many things, it's kind of just synonymous with child abuse, sexual abuse. It's not a big deal. It's exploding to crisis levels online. Researchers who study it say the term describes an attraction, not an action. And say you need to interchange it because by this interchangement, it fuels misconceptions. One of the findings of one of the scientists said that the disorder found pedophilia is determined in the womb. Determined in the womb. Although environmental factors might influence whether someone acts on an urge to abuse. So let me get this straight. We're already being told that if you come out as a biological male, you might actually be a female. And in some cases, there are some folks that I know that they have a traumatic battle. And I feel for them. But there are still only two genders. Some of them decide to have a transgender operation, which is something I want to bring up before we wrap this hour. But with pedophilia, while you're in the womb, still developing genitals, or maybe have formed genitals of one sex or another, you become interested in pedophilia, having sex with young children. You're not even born. Is that, we're supposed to take that as science? The clinical psychologist, sexual researcher, former editor-in-chief of Sexual Abuse, a journal of research and treatment, quote, pedophilia is the attraction to children regardless of whether the person ever does it, basically. Saying not all people who sexually abuse children are pedophiles. What? Oh, I see. You mean if you hit your kid across the face with a slap, that could be considered abuse, but you're not going to be sexually fantasizing about them. How many of you remember being whipped by one of your parents? Do you think they were ever at any point fantasizing about sex with you, or they're just punishing and beating your butt for something you deserve? And one another psychiatrist involved in this, my God, they're so crazy. And they're psychiatrists. They need to see some that are smarter. But goes on to say these are child molesters, or saying there are child molesters and pedophiles. And there's an overlap, no kidding. There are the people who are sexually attracted to children, and then they will send them to people who molest the kids who are not pedophiles. They molest because of anger, because they're afraid of adults, to get revenge, and on and on and on. You know, all this is doing is trying to give credibility to this kind of action. One researcher said, I think as a field, we've accepted the idea this is not something you choose. It happens in the womb. That's science. And they want to know why, when we're told follow the science, just, hey, we're scientists, we're telling you what the fact is. You accept that science? Diane, a constant listener, loyal listener, in fact, has a group that often listens to the program, sent me this. I had seen it, just had not had time to spend time on it. Out of Washington State, they have passed a law, she says. Now, I did not verify, Diane, if it actually got passed. I'm taking your word for it. But they passed a law, now in effect, where 13-year-old children, as she writes, yes, children, can have gender-changing therapy without parental knowledge or consent.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.